Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Apple Pay is Big Latin. You file some of your payments Big Latin. Like Apple Pay.
And a good selling point for the balsam is that the underside of the dark green needle is light blue like the spruce. So if you decorate it in a certain way, you can get a certain layered look of color with your tree as well.
I can't believe that you still retained all that knowledge.
And then they would say, this has a bad side. I said, well, it's not going in the middle of a room, is it?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Contrary to what people might believe, apologizing to Rob Spiewak when he gets something right is not something that bothers me. It's true.
Oh, no.
There are apologizing to you, Oscar, rips me up.
It does.
I do not like to do it.
I didn't know
I
that.
Don't. Because you and I, well, Rob is not as confrontational as you are. So if I'm sitting there and having a dispute with you about something, and then I got to come in the next day and say, hey, I checked it out. You were right. Rob is very, what's the word? He's humble when he's in, sometimes he's humble, sometimes he's passive aggressive. When he's passive aggressive, it pisses me off. When he's humble, like he was yesterday, it makes it easier to come in and apologize. Yesterday, Rob Spiewak, when we were talking about the coronavirus, mentioned that he saw or read somewhere or heard that there was a Harvard professor that said there is a potential that 40 to 70% of people will be infected with this virus. Well, we attacked him like a pack of hyenas tearing at his flesh.
I really did. I replayed it in my
responsible. Yes.
I replayed it in my head after the show, and I thought, where was my horrible misstep? I mean,
I thought you had misread. I thought, and by the way, this was even after we did a little research. Remember, we were all nose on our computer.
Yeah.
Trying to find. So it turns out last night, I'm sitting there watching CBS with Nora Blue Eyes.
How is she?
Nora O'Donnell.
Yes.
Who's just, it's hard to describe Nora O'Donnell.
Oh, I can describe her. She's okay.
I can't picture her.
She's I should be pretty in and she's attractive in a
Scott Pelley sort of way.
In a Scott Pelley sort of way. Right?
You know what?
Like they were manufactured at the anchor camp.
You know what? There's a meme on where they show like a million blonde anchors on Fox News, and it says that Fox clearly has a type because a lot of the blonde anchor ladies, they have a similar look. CBS has sort of a mode. More than a look. Just sort of a, okay. You're okay.
Well, CBS anchors, male and female, seem to be in a mode where if you didn't have the background music and you could hear the mechanics, it would be, it's like a Stepford quality they have. But anyway.
Hall of
so
the Anchorman.
So CBS.
Yeah.
And CBS is almost leads. They do lead in their tees. They say, by the way, and a noted Harvard, epidemiologist said that 40 to 70% of people could be advised. Well, here it is. The same thing we read. The thing Rob quoted right at the beginning that we jumped on. So that's how you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm here to humbly apologize to you. And I don't mind apologizing to you because I know it's not something you're going to gloat about, but references in the future.
I guess apology accepted, but you know what? I believe
it
was
necessary.
I don't think it's
record.
Necessary for you need to talk right now.
See, right now we're all here. You hear what he just said? He doesn't think it's necessary.
I know. It's not necessary to be here on time when you call for an early start either.
Mike, there are so many
Oscar things. Calls
Mike
for an early
here on time.
Yeah, but you're never. Look, you're the guy. You're the guy that if somebody else is running late, yes, and you're,
I'll
and
do
you're,
something else.
And you have to be the latest one.
Yes, yes,
you have to.
Yeah, I have to maximize
it's
my
your
time.
Sick, twisted brain.
He is late 40 to 70% of the time.
He is. You were.
But
he
I'm also 40 to 70% more efficient.
A guy at Harvard said so.
Let me add so, this.
By the way. I also, can I just say this please. Because I'll forget.
Please.
The Harvard guy, I saw the guy. The guy's a smarmy douche, too.
Oh, of course.
I don't buy it. I think it's like predicting the stock market, to be honest with you, as to whether I hope that he's wrong.
Well, I think
I
that
pray that he's wrong.
I hope and pray that he's wrong, too. And it was, even though I accept your apology and it's no big deal, to me. But I feel that it was probably irresponsible for me to lead with it because it is a shocking statistic.
And I'm going to back you. I'm going to disagree with you because I think you read it and you saw it and it was a very, very
it's compelling.
Significantly covered statistic. It was not, and it was shocking.
Yeah.
And so bringing it to the show, you read it, a noted Harvard epidemiologist.
He didn't
you
read got it, in mainstream. He heard it.
He heard it.
Yeah, okay,
he heard
so, it. On the television
it didn't
news.
Help your cause. It did not help your cause when you mentioned Holly Morris.
Yeah, but then we were able to verify it using
print
material.
Yeah, we verified it. But the guy, have you seen the guy, the picture of the guy?
I saw a picture of him. I think
the interview.
This guy is the guy that says, well, if you're going to say it's going to get 50%, I'll say 70%, and I'll be on TV. But fact remains, he said it. So
Rob said it best, where he thought it might have been a little irresponsible for just throwing that number out without all the facts.
Exactly,
right,
we softened it because you said many people will have it, the infection, and not even know it because mild symptoms.
He found the information.
Exactly.
This to me is like everything that of a scary tragedy oriented nature where. I think this is like nothing they've experienced in quite some time.
Right.
And I think that they are working on it. And I think people are out there that are probably doing the best they can. But I also think there are probably a lot of people that have no idea what the ramifications are going to be and how long it's going to last and all
we
that.
Should highlight that. You have the best frame of reference. When polio broke out, how did your family deal with it? How did you deal with it personally?
You know, for me personally, Oscar, it wasn't as bad as the rickets scare of 1918.
I remember when you had to change the way you stored your grain because the rats that were eating it were spreading.
It was horrible. When I was a baby, I used to play in the backyard with the bubonic family.
Yes, Johnny Bubon.
Johnny and Shelley Bubonic were. Played in the same sandbox with me, and we thought that the rats were actually cats.
Yeah, huge.
It was. I can't believe I'm that guy now. I've replaced Buzz as the elder statesman. Where I go, you know, back in the day, I do remember the backyard was cold. That's what it was.
The joke still works.
No, it's you don't know right now. Up the road in Sarasota, a couple of cases up there. I think, or one case up there, two cases. On a positive note, I am reading many articles that are talking about they believe this is a containable situation.
Agreed.
Unlike influenza,
which is not containable, right?
Okay,
okay,
the whole train.
And the thing is that hopefully we don't have a coronavirus season every year as we have a flu season,
right?
You know, because I mean, we really should. Don't you think we should be better at fighting the flu by now?
Someone mentioned to me, Rob, yesterday that there are a significant amount of Americans that will not buy Corona beer now.
Oh,
because they're worried.
Please.
That's how stupid we are.
We're very dumb.
That's it.
We're very
all
dumb.
I drank was Coronas in Hawaii.
You liked
places.
Coronas with the lime. Did you drink it with the lime?
I drank with the lime, Mike.
Yeah.
I hate citrus in my beer.
Oh, no.
Really?
I can take a
splash.
A blue moon, the orange slice.
Okay. That's nice too.
I can do that, but I don't like the lime.
But Corona
beer.
Has a sort of a dull lager flavor, and I think the lime wakes it up.
This is something I actually thought during vacation, but I didn't think to even look up. And I'm sure somebody has. And maybe if you talked about it while I was away, my apologies. Why the name? Did somebody find discover the virus that is named Corona?
No, it looks like the corona of the sun. Basically.
Oh,
under
look at this guy.
Hey, how about that?
He's back, baby.
He is.
How about that first thing in the morning contributing? Huh?
And probably the one most likely to get the virus on the show.
Whoa. I just made that up.
Well, you are into anime. Multiple
did
conventions.
You really make it up or did you?
No,
it
that's true.
No, but he shares a lot
facts.
Of action.
So the virus under a microscope looks like a corona?
Yeah, it looks like a little sun, basically.
Do you have a microscope at your house?
No.
I was hoping you might. Don't you think you have bigger
a microscope?
What about a telescope?
Yes.
Yeah, for looking at his figures.
Do you have a telescope?
No, I would like a telescope.
What about
That'd
binoculars?
Be nice to have. No binoculars either.
You seem like the creep that would look out his window.
What about opera glasses?
No, just reading glasses. That's about it.
A monocle?
Up in Maine, I'd love to have a telescope. I because it's so
you could look at the stars.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would.
I've had telescope. I had it with my daughters.
Can I ask a question about a telescope, real quick?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I remember we used to go and look at telescopes with my father. Uh-huh. But he was, God bless him, so cheap. He just let us look at them.
Like you go to a telescope store? Where would you go?
So there's a. I remember there being a science
store
in Wheaton Plaza, or a camera store. Maybe it was Ritz Camera. I don't remember. I just remember
might have been Ritz Camera
going. And they were thousands of dollars.
Sure.
And he'd always, and I was like, and he'd be looking at it. He'd talk to the guy, the poor guy, just telling him everything about it.
Fully intending not to buy anything.
Well, maybe today's the day. Who knows? And
well, Papa knew he was going to buy, but the salesman always had hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got this FOB
it's
coming
like selling
through
a house.
Yep.
Yeah. For me, we'd walk out and he'd say, we always can go to the Smithsonian. And I said, well, I don't know if there's a telescope at the Smithsonian, Pop, but we just spent like an hour of our lives talking to this Ritz camera guy.
Right.
And I don't know if you're looking at some girl across the mall or what was going on, because it just didn't make sense to me to spend that much time talking about a telescope that we would never have in our house. How is it having one?
To be perfectly honest with you, I think that there are probably people all over the world that get off on being pitched.
Really?
They're not like me. I'm the opposite guy.
If I'm going in somewhere,
I'm an easy sell. Right. I am an easy sell.
Well, you probably
sell.
Aren't going in if you don't have the intention of buying in the first place.
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
But I also can be walking through. By the way, those Israelis that, hand the hand lotion to you
in the mall at
the kiosks and stuff like that, I run. Because if you hook me, I like.
I bet they're having a bad season right about now.
That's Purell.
I bet product knowledge. I love product knowledge. If I go into a place, not intended to buy something, but based on a guy knowing what he was talking about and then giving me information, I do. If I go in, conversely, if I go in and I am looking to buy something and somebody gives me I don't really know. I said, see you later.
Oh, thank you very much. I get that right away when you're like, if you don't care enough about your product.
Yeah, if you don't care enough to know what you're trying to sell me, I'm out of here.
This makes me harken back to being a bald-faced boy selling vegetables, which was fun. But selling Christmas
your
trees.
Your Silver King is much better than your
Silver Queen was the mover.
Silver Queen.
Silver Queen.
I just picked this out this morning.
But but selling Christmas trees, that was when you could really, really
spot the rubes.
You've talked about this before.
Yeah.
So what would be, do you remember in your memory banks your pitch? Say I'm the.
Oh, I love this.
Oh yeah. Well, the first thing is.
Let's do a little theater. All right. I'm driving up in my station wagon.
Excellent. I already love you because it's easy to load.
And I get out of the car and you notice that I don't have a clue.
Right.
And I'm walking around. So I walk up to your first door. I say, what kind of tree is this?
Well, first,
this
one right here. I would probably approach you with a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
A salutation.
Yeah.
Beautiful stand you have here.
Thank you. If you get too cold, we have the fire barrel up front. But are you looking for a tree?
Yeah, we've had an artificial tree, but my wife wanted to go with a live one. I don't like live trees because they get needles everywhere.
Well, you see, you need to look for a tree that is going to retain its needles. The needle retention factor is strong for you. For example, the blue spruce is a beautiful tree, layered look, and a great color, but it is going to lose a lot of needles.
Like? Do you have one on your lot?
Yeah, right here. You see it's got sort of a bluish color.
That's a blue spruce?
It's a Colorado blue spruce right there. But before we proceed, I need to ask, what size tree are we looking for?
I'm looking for a big one. I'd like to get like a 7 to 8 foot tree.
Because you've got probably an 8 foot ceiling. We're probably going to want to go 9 feet then because you're going to lose a little off the bottom.
Oh, 9 feet. Okay, a 9 foot.
How much is an 8 footer to a 9 footer?
Well, the problem is...
What's a 9 footer?
You see, the thing is trees grow fast until they're about 5 feet tall. Then it gets slower. So the taller the tree is, it's going to get a little more expensive.
Mm.
I would say... I mean, I have to now go back and use 1980s dollars. So
that's
this,
fine.
This
just give us what you know.
Okay, so I would say that an 8 foot, you're looking at around $45. For a 9, you're looking about 60. But you're going to really
what
appreciate.
Hey, like, wouldn't that be, seriously, wouldn't that be like $215 now?
I stopped having cut Christmas trees when a 7.5 foot crested $100 at a roadside stand. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do it anymore.
I think they're in 200.
Yeah, but
to 200
the
range,
genius, so. And also I would say you're on the brink of being halfway a con artist when you're like, when he asks you about the 8 foot to 9 foot, and you just completely tell him about the growth cycle of the tree.
Well, you got to explain
and don't
it.
Address the idea. Yeah.
And wait, and then, but if we can get, sir, if we can get back to needle retention, what you want is something probably in the fir family. This is a balsam. This is a balsam.
Is
fir.
Needle retention the same as water retention? I'm having my wife has that.
It's not.
I know HH fir.
But the best thing ever, there was a weird variety that broke right at the end of our Christmas tree season. And forgive me if I've told you this before. It was called a concolor fir. And it had the look.
A concolor fir?
C-O-N-C-O-L-O-R.
Con being the operative term.
Exactly. Underline it. But it had a bluish color like the spruce, but soft needles like a fir tree. And also it held its needles forever. But here's the thing. I could take my pocket knife and cut off a small bit of branch, and it had a distinct citrus smell. It smelled like a tangerine almost. And so if ooh, anyone was ever on like the cusp, that. I'd say, I want you to smell something. And I would cut it off, and I'd say, just take a smell of this branch. And they would smell and say, why, that smells like an orange. I said, your entire house could smell like that. Now, noted, this is a slightly more expensive variety because it's a little exotic.
I'm smelling it right now. Yeah. I'm practically getting that citrus smell.
Your powers could, used for evil as a kid, used for good now.
I was like 12.
So they smelled like citrus?
Yeah, the con color. It's a beautiful tree. But the best thing about it was the color. I loved the blue spruce because it wasn't a deep, dark green. It
was when he did the real stuff. That was the real thing when he went, beautiful tree. Yeah. Beautiful tree here.
Yeah.
Now, really the balsam, Mike.
Gorgeous.
The balsam. A balsam fir.
Balsam is a knockout.
Classic and also a wonderful, very woodsy smelling, has a great Christmas tree smell.
That's the Christmas
classic,
smell.
Classic Christmas smell.
Balsam fir.
But a good selling point for the balsam is that the underside of the dark green needle is light blue like the spruce. So if you decorate it in a certain way, you can get a certain layered look of color with your tree as well.
Oh, I can't believe that you still retained all
and
that.
And then
knowledge.
They would say, this has a bad side. I said, well, it's not going in the middle of a room, is it?
This one has what is this on the back side of the tree? Is that pig poop? What is that?
I what would you do if someone wanted a discount?
In what way?
Like, would you haggle?
Yeah.
Would you haggle?
Of course.
Yeah, would you haggle? So if your tree is $60, you go, oh man, I was looking to spend $55.
I say, well, I tell you what, let's look at the. I want to take you up to the Christmas shop, and maybe you like a wreath as well, some roping, and we can maybe package it together.
Oh,
so you throw, and that was kind of the SOP
that you
throw in a
value.
Wreath.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's your upsell right there. White pine roping was $1 a yard, and princess pine roping, $2 a yard. I remember
when
the price
was the year that you started out of. So you had the shed, right, where you had the Christmas tree.
And we
the
actually Christmas spelled wreath. Shop. S-H-O-P-P-E.
Shoppy.
Yeah. The Christmas
and when
Shoppy.
When did you make the flip where you started selling the blow out of the shed?
As you know, the blow was a summertime thing that funded the trees.
Oh, so you did the shed was open in the summertime.
Exactly. Right.
And Rob's Coke Shack.
What we would do the blow off of a wreath.
Pre or post arson?
Oh, arson usually happened about the 26th or 27th of December if it was a bad year.
Yeah, Oscar, I'm totally like obsessed now with Narcos Mexico. I watch it every night now. And it's the never ending show.
It's compelling because you think that you're like, it's over. It's not over.
It keeps going.
It's not over.
Now, when the dominoes start falling, things start moving. And if you're talking about king of the castle?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Everybody wants to be king.
All right.
Everybody.
If you'll allow us just at the beginning of the show, just a minute or so here. I want to ask Oscar about Narcos. Okay. Yes. Because
and we have a guest coming up from Narcos. Or
there,
there
is a woman that's featured on Narcos Mexico who. It seems as though
is it Imelda Narcos?
Her name is Isabella.
Okay,
and with every episode, she gets sexier and sexier and sex. Isabella. Now
it's hard.
I'm at this.
I think it might be maybe 6 months out from finishing that that I guess storyline from Mexico. But is she the mistress of the main guy, or is she the wife?
Is she's not the wife. She's not the mistress. She is the. I thought you were caught up.
I've watched every one of them. It's all blends together, Mike. It's my people. Okay, so it's kind of like
you know. She's the one that wants a seat at the table. She's the one that wants to be one of the main ones.
Yes.
She gets her hands dirty.
Is it Ismarella?
Isabella. Okay. I believe her name is Isabella. Okay, so and she is
powerful and sexy and your type. Yeah. Your type. She would put you in your place.
What does that mean?
At any moment.
She's a tough girl.
Yeah.
She's
okay.
a tough girl like my wife, Carla.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, Carla.
Yes, Carla, your wife. I thought he was talking about the physical type. No, and I thought that was hardly appropriate.
Well,
she got... How far into the series?
I'm in where he makes his comeback.
Okay.
Felix makes his comeback, and Isabella's sitting at the table, and he asks her to leave.
Yeah.
We have to talk business.
Yes.
And it's Isabella's sitting there with two of her best friends.
Oh, she's probably not about that at all.
She's not happy about it. But I am enthralled with this show. This show is fantastic.
Beautifully shot as well.
And the different scene. It was shot well in this scene, that's for sure.
Look out!
Well, that one scene when you walked in. So it's decadence at its best, right? So
it's amazing. So toughness and believable carnage that these people were, you know, involved in so much crap.
And surreal that the series does not celebrate these people.
It
really
not
highlights
how
the cartel wars.
You walk away from it feeling it's an accurate representation of the lifestyle.
Well, this is how accurate
100%.
One of the scouts for Netflix, the top scouts, like what would it be, set scouts or location scouts?
Yeah,
he was murdered by the cartel when he was scouting the location to shoot in Mexico.
This happens to 40 to 70% of all location scouts.
Okay, on that note, that's the end of our Narcos discussion. That's not funny.
No, it's not at all.
My God, you sick bastard! All right, let's go.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Things are going to get better. You just hang in there, Mitch.
Thanks for listening, Jim.
Say, listen, pal. You ever need anything? I mean anything at all. You come to me.
Can I stay at your place tonight?
Well, see, the thing is this. I live over at the Y, as you know. I got a roommate, old Jack, who is a little particular when it comes to strangers.
Oh, yeah. Well, no problem. Thanks.
He just got his knee drained last week.
That's all right. I'll find another place.
No, he needed it, too. That thing was getting a little bit right.
I get the picture. Maybe I'll just sleep in my car.
Old Jack's an odd duck, I tell you. Many times I catch him staring at me sleeping, which is off-putting.
Yeah, I guess it would be, yeah.
His feet bleed.
I don't want to stay at your place!
Point taken. Point taken, Mitch. Some other time, maybe, we could,
No!
Go camping.
What?
You know, just you and me.
Okay, let's go.
Mitch and Lonely.
Oh.
Hey, Mitch!
Jimmy, your new nose looks great.
Thanks. Best $200 I ever spent.
Hey, Jimmy, that girl you're with, she's not the,
Yep. Lynn Young, the Saigon whore who bit my nose off. We're getting hitched.
Oh.
Jimmy, let's go.
Hold on. I'm talking to my friend here. Jeez. Sometimes you gotta remind the hen who the rooster is.
Well, good luck to you, Jimmy.
Okay, Mitch. See you around. Blah, 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 blah.
When I say let's go, you go.
Yeah? Time you shut your cake hole, Yoko. Women. Listen, don't ever talk back to me like that in front of my friends.
You're making me really, really angry.
Oh, that scares me. That scares me to death. Look. Ah! Oh, you bit my new nose off.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Lidgerwood, North Dakota, Sleepy Hollow, New York, Williamsburg, Virginia, Weed, California.
Weed!
Weed! Oh, narcos. Narcos, Mexico. Man, what a field they burned up. Anyway, Oconto, Wisconsin, and the Bottle,
Alabama. I want to thank y'all for coming down to the Bottle. We got some barbecue joint right down around the corner of the Bottle. Yeah, baby.
That's an angle you didn't take yesterday, is someone saying, welcome to the Bottle. I like
welcome
that.
Welcome to the Bottle. What's happening at the Bottom? Yep. Yeah, listen, we was fixing to go down and do a little catfishing, and then we're going to roll over to the Bottle.
Yeah, it sounds like a bar. This program is brought to you by Noom. Crash diets, always temporary. If you want to keep those pounds off, you have to adjust your lifestyle. That's why I love Noom, because everyone is different. Noom, adjust to your lifestyle. Noom helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do. The way you do the things you do. The way you do the things you do.
You know, you could have been a candle.
And gives you the tools you need to ditch bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. Just 10 minutes a day changes your life. My favorite part, they got a great food database. You can track your food, put it in there, and keep track of it. That's the key to the whole thing. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS. And before we forget, I want to get it on time.
Yes.
It is time for our mailbag, ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Mailbag.
It's about us. It's about you.
You. Very good, you.
You.
Might want to print the mailbag
you.
First. Hold on just a second.
You didn't print
okay.
it?
You can't read it until you print it.
I can read it off the computer.
Oh, like the kids.
Yeah. Science?
Oh, I kid you not. There's a clear line of demarcation for broadcasters that were like brought up in the paper age.
Yes.
And broadcasters that were brought up in the computer age.
Right.
I'm a paper guy.
Yeah.
But everyone.
Well, I'm
said,
a paper guy just on quantity. I can't. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
5 text-based things that I do on the
sure.
show. Might not sound like it with this incredible spontaneity, but I do. And you know what? And so it would be very difficult for me to just constantly. I'm using my two computers
in here.
I
find it troublesome yes. because if your computer dies, your copy dies.
And it can go dark. Anything can happen.
When we're on the production side of some of these shows, I'm like, let me get a paper copy just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Well, I like using paper probably because it's old school. Another reason is because there's font involved where I like a certain size
yeah.
that is not.
You can always,
increase
it on your computer.
Yeah, but then you got to go back to having it.
It can revert, too, you know.
It reverts
this is
sometimes.
Really getting into the weeds as I print out my mailbag. But I have to tell you this. In the event that I change the font size on a computer, in order to get the quantity of material
yeah.
that I normally have mm-hmm. on my computer, I have to go back and change it
or
again.
Or if an EMP so hits it. You, like, what do we have? Right?
Yeah. And
do,
also,
do you know what an EMP is?
No, I don't.
Electromagnetic pulse.
Oh, it'll get you every
yeah.
time.
So, how are you yeah. going to print if that hits you?
A lot of people are curious. You know, I do a lot of writing for Mike, what his standard font size is.
Oh, you write all of Mike's words?
Well, no, I mean, like when I print out, we do commercials and the mailbags.
Are you saying you do everything that's funny for Mike?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that the size of his font, if you're curious, because, you know, you want to know.
No, but Rob, behind the scenes, it doesn't matter. Rob writes the commercials.
Yeah.
And
you read
most
them.
Of the promos for this show, yeah. And I read them.
And
especially
it's
the ones that don't have to do with anything.
It's
you know, like the mailbag. I'm not the mailbag, but like the bonus.
Yes, of course.
And Mike prefers a 48 point.
48?
48 point.
Yeah. Holy ass.
Yes, lovey. I can't see. Oh, Magoo. Oh,
no
Magoo.
Way.
You've done it again. I can't read that commercial without a 48.
I'm
going to
guess you are a 20.
18.
Oh, close.
No, your standard mic is actually 12-point aerial.
No, I'm 18 on my my news.
Oh, but what I send you is 12-point.
Why don't you send it to him in 18?
I can if he likes. He's never complete action.
No. Don't mess with that, please. No, that's fine. What you send me works. But
because
I
you
go
know, since we've since we've started the show, we're up from an 11.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, Magoo. You've done it again. All right, tighter and brighter. Here's the mailbag. Mike, first letter. I hope you are well and getting settled into the new house. I'm a big fan and have listened to you since 1998. When you were on WJFK. I'm a member of the U.S. Navy Band in D.C., and as such, have had the pleasure of working with Colonel Colburn, my friend Michael Colburn, on a few occasions before his retirement. By the way, he's not all that retired because he's director of bands at Butler University in the great state of Indiana.
Man's working.
The last time was President Obama's second inaugural when the Colonel was conducting the Marine Band and I was the offstage voice of God. LOL for the ceremony. That's funny. All of that is a preamble to telling you that we, the Navy Band, are headed to Florida in early March for our national tour. I think the closest we will get to you is either March 7th in Naples or March 8th in Punta Gorda. Oh, that is close to me, but I'm not available for that. Maybe March 8th. I drive up to Punta Gorda to see I know that you enjoy good music and that you support our military, so I wanted to make sure that you knew we were coming. The tickets are free, and if you'd like to come, I'd be happy to have some set aside for you. I think it's a show the whole family can enjoy. This year is our 95th anniversary, and we're doing a special tour with our concert band, chorus, and our rock band, so we have a great variety of music. I hope you guys can make it. Either way, I'll hang up and listen. Oh, I wish I could, Courtney. Rob has my contact info. Please advise. All the best. Courtney Williams, next time, let me know. If I had more notice, I would have loved to do that. I can't go, but I would have loved to. Yeah, well, it's a, you know, I'm leaving today.
Yes.
Because I've got a golf tournament, the Cocoon Memorial Father and Son and Niece and Nephew Invitational
Forum. You guys give away a scholarship,
forum.
Right? Yeah.
We're doing
caddy
good for others.
Score.
Yeah. We're not just drinking vodka and playing golf. We're doing good. No, it's my little break that I'm taking.
This gentleman is a big fan, Courtney Williams, and he actually reached out to me through Katie. And Katie saw them in Savannah. She said it was magnificent. So if the Navy band comes through your town, make sure you see it.
Send me the contact information because I think the 8th might be doable. I'm not sure, though. No, that's Sunday night. Can't do it. I'm sorry. Damn it.
School night.
Next letter says, Mike, Rob, T.O. Oscar, Pony, and Maddie. Big fan of the show. I've listened to the radio since the late 90s in New York and found the podcast about the time Rob was on Crashing. The show is better than ever. Mike, my daughter is also a July 2013 baby, so it's been fun hearing the adventures of small Mike. My kid calls every talk radio show or podcast Mike O'Mara show. Anywho, a brief birthday shout out would be great. 38 is great. You guys never disappoint. Thank you. All the best, Mark. Happy birthday, Mark. He's asking for his own birthday.
Yes.
Shout out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. 38, Mark. Let me point out something. You have a 6-year-old. I have a 6-year-old. Your age is appropriate for a 6-year-old. My age is totally inappropriate. So that's why when I'm throwing the baseball with my son in the backyard, I can throw it. I can catch it. I can't run after it or bend over and pick it up.
So his accuracy is key.
Yeah. Is your game?
So if you don't have a good right arm, by the way, I can throw and catch with the best of them. To this day. Thank you.
But your game of catch involves him picking up.
If he throws it over my head, I'm not going to get it. He runs and gets it and bends and picks it up. If I'm bending over, even with a glove in my hand, to pick up a baseball off the ground, it's a 5-minute endeavor. It's like,
this is why we need to reinvent the game, Oscar. It's a slow game.
If you played golf with me, I'm perfectly fine. I have my good days and my bad days. Yesterday, horrible.
Oh,
horrible. Hmm. But watching me pull a golf ball out of the hole is it's agony. A guy I played with one time looked at me and said, "That is painful to watch." I said, "You ought to try doing it." Thank you. All right. So anyway, that's happy birthday to Mark, 38 years old. Mike and Rob, Friday's bonus show was fantastic. It was very neat hearing all that music and listening to the crew critique the choices. What we did, Oscar, when you were gone, is we did two music shows.
I heard.
Where we dove into our favorite songs and then let the youngsters critique it. It was wonderful. Mike, I've forgotten how much I like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Thanks for jogging my brain. I've been listening to him a lot this weekend. I love Stevie Ray.
Yep.
Rob, I remembered an interview with Brian Wilson from back on the Don and Mike days, and Don asking him if the drum beat on Wouldn't It Be Nice was a tribute to Be My Baby, and him confirming that, in fact, it was. I think about that interview every time I hear that drum interview. Thanks again for a great bonus show. I can't wait for the next music show. Joel Rosenbaum of Martinez, California.
And as an example, Mike, here is the beginning of Be My Baby. Great Hal Blaine drumming. And then the beginning of Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys. This is from Pet Sounds. And I remember when Don asked this question, too. I thought this was very, very cool.
Wouldn't it be nice?
He was trying to capture that exact drum set.
The exact sound. Just a sound.
Yep.
One drum note.
That's cool.
Like that. Next letter says, greetings again from the rocky coast of Maine. I hope Mike is bringing the beast up to camp so he can show his neighbor how to do a burnout. Hey, hold on. Eric, I got down to the bottom here. Eric Cook, let me tell you something, brother. Not only has it been discussed, it's been requested by my next door neighbor.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah,
ain't gonna happen, but it's been requested.
Kathy and your family would not be happy.
One of the things about there, though, that's just the cool, lawless kind of nature of Maine.
They live by their own rules.
Know, right in the middle of their street.
You think anybody's calling the cops?
No.
No cops to call. Regarding Boston's peace of mind, I, too, have been singing Rumma Tumma. I never questioned it. Thanks for setting me straight. I know Rob isn't a fan of Pink Floyd, but I am wondering if you guys can settle an argument that has been going on for over 20 years. My wife and I cannot agree on what the child is saying at the beginning of Goodbye Blue Sky. I clearly hear, look, mummy, the small plane in the sky. The lyrics and my wife both say it's, look, mummy, there's an aeroplane in the sky. She's a good deal smarter than I am, but I think my hearing is better. Thanks for any help, Eric Cook.
All right, do you want to hear it? Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's hear it. I'm not a big Pink Floyd guy, so I had to listen to it over because I'm not familiar with the album The Wall. But here's what he's discussing.
Look, mommy, there's no plane up in the sky.
Like it one more time?
Yeah.
Look, mommy, there's no plane up in the sky.
I think it's the small plane up in the sky.
I hear aeroplane.
Look, mommy, there's no plane up in the sky.
Look, mommy, there's no plane up in the sky.
You hear there's no plane up in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm not a big enough Floyd fan to even know this song that
what
we're playing.
What is it supposed to be?
It's from The Wall. The Wall. And I don't like Pink Floyd, so I don't know it.
You can't have your pudding unless you eat your meat.
I think what the child is saying, and you want to run, but somehow you just keep on staying.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Rumma Tumma.
Rumma Tumma, Mike.
All right. That was kidding.
That's going to
haunt me for the rest of the day. Glad we could help
your
very narrow, specific question.
Yeah.
Stop the mailbag. Hi, Mike, Rob, Mario, Pony, and Maddie. I write to you today to formally announce the birth of one of your newest listeners, my wonderful daughter, Lydia Colleen. She was born on New Year's Day. I hope you'll excuse the tardiness of my letter, but we've had the flu. 2 cases of pink eye and a stomach bug go through the house in the last 2 months. Well, I wouldn't go anywhere in public because it sounds to me like you guys with your immune
contagion.
Systems, probably the corona is just waiting to tap you on the shoulder.
They've got the greatest immune system now because they've done it all.
This is true. They've got all those griblies out of them.
Yeah.
2 months isn't so bad when you factor in that we missed out on a tax credit by about 5 hours.
Ouch.
So she sort of owes us. Am I right? Right. When we were looking at names, my wife and I both loved the name Lydia. She once said we could call her Liddy. I immediately responded by yelling, G. Gordon Liddy? In my wife. Oh, by the way, thanks for sending me the Liddy picture and the Rush Limbaugh mug that Carla has left on our kitchen counter for 3 weeks now. And I went in the other day and I said, we have people coming over the other day, and I had to go into where my studio will eventually be and turn Liddy face down on the counter.
Mike,
so
I'm
people
thinking,
don't go, what's that? Like one guy did.
I'm thinking with the neighborhood that you're trying to sell your house in and to the possible customers, you might want to put that merchandise in the house you're selling.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I played a At Cocoonville, played golf yesterday with a guy with a Trump head cover.
Ooh.
Keep America great.
Ballsy.
Buddy.
So I walk up and I said, okay, let's get started. And I took the head cover off and I threw it into the woods. Yeah, he laughed.
Yeah, and he had you deported.
They know who I am. I immediately responded by yelling, G. Gordon Liddy, in my wife's face and telling her that I'm virile, vigorous, and potent. Mike, I'm hoping you could shuffle some newspapers around, complain about Washington's alternative newspaper, The Washington Post, and talk up a record as the G-Man. I'll hang up and listening. And listen, is this the one you wanted me to
yeah,
play,
because
Rob Spiewak?
Because you know that's Liddy's favorite band.
Did Liddy, I'm sorry, did Liddy used to call the Post alternative?
Yes.
What?
Your alternative newspaper from the pages of the Washington Post.
Yeah.
This is G. Gordon Liddy, and it's time for a song. How about a song? Hit the jingle, boys.
89 WLS.
Ah, this is G. Gordon Liddy. Remember, if there's a burglar that comes into your home and then you shoot him as he is leaving, make sure you pull him back into your home. That way the police cannot charge you. Group ABBA.
Thank you.
Oh, you absolutely killed it. I didn't even have to remind you that he called them Group ABBA.
Some of the finest warriors in the United States, I'm sorry, in the world, used to tie leather twine around their testicles. The agony they were experiencing would only be alleviated when they would charge the coming troops. Group ABBA. Once again, your gun rights are under assault. We will be joined by Oliver North later on today during the program.
No.
Thursday, Bill Maher will join us. Yes, he used to be on my show. And remember, gun control is hitting what you aim at. Group ABBA.
Again.
A wonderful announcement for listeners of the G. Gordon Liddy Show. You can join me on a cruise.
Oh, no.
On the SS Veendom. We'll be cruising the Caribbean, and you will be able to see me in my massive package wearing my red, white, and blue Speedo. Here's Group ABBA.
There you go. I'm
the Group ABBA and the Post. Yeah, every effing
every time.
Kills it. I love it.
Group ABBA.
He enjoyed Group ABBA. My God, we're running late. All right, hold on. Mike, wait. Oh, I've got it right here. There you go. I got lost my place doing all that. Hi, guys. I've followed you all since the dawn of Mike days on KHTH Sports 1140 and found the podcast iteration of the TMOS show when you were just six episodes in. Since then, you've been there for me throughout my trips along I-5 in California, plane rides across the country, and through a few tough patches. Thank you all for helping me through that. I've listened to the first 2072 episodes faithfully. However, as you know, you are now on episode 2409, which means I'm a bit behind. You see, I have a touch of the OCD, and I love the show so much that it's more important to me to listen to each one as opposed to skipping ahead. I can't wait to get the show's take on the 2018 midterm elections.
That's funny.
The Nats World Series Championship and the Mueller Report. You guys are the best, and I look forward to getting caught up. It feels odd asking something of folks who've given so much, but I did want to see if you'd be able to give a birthday shout-out for your boy. You see, I'm a leap year baby, and as such, only get to have an actual birthday once every 4 years. We got a leap year birthday!
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Therefore, it would mean a lot to have my buddies give a small shout-out, if possible, to celebrate. If it's possible, I look forward to catching up on the shows and seeing if I'm able to get the shout-out, ideally before my next birthday in 2024. That's a funny letter. F you guys. Sad. And thank you for
no,
being
it's S-A-D.
Oh, what?
S-A-D.
Oh,
S-A-D.
Oh, S-A-D.
Yeah,
sorry.
But that is sad.
F you guys. S-A-D. And thank you for being... Sorry about that. S-A-D in copy form is E-S-S-A-D-E-E.
I know, you're
That's
right.
the way. It's not sad with separation of letters. For being a gift to me that simply can't express, Robert in San Jose. Remember, I don't pre-read them.
Thank you, Robert.
All right. And our last letter. I hold up my hand. Thank you, Jesus.
Whew.
The last letter. Sometimes this is a sprint.
It is.
Dear Mailbag, looking ahead to this coming Sunday, I want to wish an early happy 49th birthday to Rob.
Yay.
Oh, that's right. It's your birthday.
Yes. Sunday. Mm-hmm. Last of my 40s.
Wow. Wow. And in honor of his birthday, a haiku. 2020. Wow. Summer Olympics, Japan. Chrome Dome Man, funny. Dirk Vastrick in Spokane.
Thank you, Dirk. Very sweet of you.
He never forgets.
He doesn't. He's a thoughtful man.
Very good. All right, we got to take a break. We are running super late. We'll come back with a short break right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie.
Hey there, this is Katie from the Cake and Cookies Show. On this episode, find out where I've been, the special way Rob likes to show his ass all over Leesburg, and we answer all your questions. Tune in for this bionic episode of Cake and Cookies.
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
That's fascinating. She sounds so much different, Rob.
She's, well, you know, the jaw.
Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question?
Jaw and the meds, probably. Yes.
Charlie Bernie, I guess, was on the show last week.
Yes.
And
Charlie ADD Bernie?
ADD Bernie is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlie ADD Bernie.
So we were just catching up from him. He goes, you know, I was on Mike's show. And I'm like, oh, really? I did not know that. And he said, yeah, Mike said I had ADD. And I said, well, what were you doing to prompt that? He goes, I was taking a picture of the microphone. I said, while they were doing the show? He goes, yeah. I said, well, that would be a problem.
There it is. Right? There, you just summed it up in a nutshell right there. Yeah, Rob got some panelists for the show. And you know how Rob does it. Rob went 6 feet beyond where he sits to get every guest we had on the show. He literally went outside in the outer room and went, would you like to sit in?
You requested seat fillers. You requested seat fillers from Podcast Village. That was your request to a letter.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yes.
Sorry, Eric. Do I have to apologize to
no,
you?
No. But 40 to 70% of the people came from Podcast Village.
All right, 40 to 70%. Thank you. This portion of the program brought to you by Stamps.com. Don't you wish you were at the post office right now?
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? Me neither. Running a business or keeping a file. I like that. That's a new thing. Isn't this great? Running a business or keeping up with your schedule takes a lot. And sometimes there just aren't enough hours in the day. You've got better and more important things to do. That's why you need Stamps.com. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do at Stamps.com. There's on-demand postage, and that means you can skip the trip to the post office. And you can save money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. Time isn't the only thing you'll be saving with Stamps.com. You can get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. No wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com, just like us.
Just like you.
Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. You know them, you love them. Stamps.com, promo code TMOS. Thank you, Stamps.com.
Good stuff.
We truly, truly appreciate it. I have a moment here. Let me just say I'm extremely proud of Mrs. O'Mara with her career change.
Aww.
That she is loving the facial aspect of life.
The passion
being
is palpable.
She's fan. Rob, those scars on your arm aren't going away.
They're much lighter.
Let me see. I haven't eyeballed
them. Are those going to be permanent?
Those are there for life.
Well, if they are, I'll just tell people I was in a fruitcake fraternity.
That's boy, yeah. You gotta wear asbestos next.
You
year
were
or
branded
like
by the actual pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You know what you should do to cover that?
What?
You should get a tattoo.
Oh yeah,
that
and
would
not,
be
and
such
not
a cool
be buried
place.
In a Jewish cemetery. No, thank you.
Tattoos
anyway,
would be cool.
I did want to say, Carla, I'm proud of you, and
that's really sweet.
She
of you, Mike.
Has. Yeah. She's kind of done what you did with this show, where she's branded herself and she's done it all on her own. I've given her a little help with fonts and printing and stuff like that, but she has been diving in. And she's doing stuff like going out to these little parties that women have where she can
networking,
talk about
networking.
And she's got listeners she's taking care of.
Aww.
She's got friends down here.
Working hard.
People. Mm. And it's really showing. I mean, and I'm really grateful because, well, I'm here to announce, much like Chris Matthews, I am retiring.
Oh, no.
Carla is this will the be first one of your wives yeah. that worked?
That is the... That is.
I mean, it's just an honest
well,
question.
No, I mean, they've all worked in one capacity at one time or another.
Okay, okay.
Some would say
being married to
some
me.
Some would say the marriage itself.
That's very kind. Well, both of you. Always nice. Always nice to send me out with a little kickaroo.
No, Mike. That's the like. You know, we're just having fun. 40 to 70% of his wives have worked.
All right. 40 to 70. No, it feels good.
Yeah, of course.
To see somebody.
Oh, dual
see
income
somebody,
is amazing.
Right. Yeah, but to see somebody change her, you know, from managing court reporters.
The trajectory of the career.
Which she
yeah.
hated.
Couldn't be any more. It couldn't be any
lawyers.
More different. Yeah.
It was horrible. Right. And you'd get a court reporter that wouldn't show up. You know who they'd yell at? They yelled at Carla.
Yeah.
That was the one that. So she's doing this now where it's quiet and there's this mood music and, you know, and she helps people. She's got this 14-year-old kid that she's working on that's got some bad skin and she helped him. And
that's great.
And it's really, really cool. So I'm very proud of you.
It's a great people industry thing where she can connect one-on-one, where in her previous life,
and yes,
there was total disconnection.
She's so good with people, Mike.
Yes, she is.
Like, she truly does care, you can tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. She's
calling you.
Okay. All right.
He's like, I do work.
Thank
you,
Carla.
I have always worked.
Yes.
But
she says, thanks for talking up my business with a couple of hearts.
That's sweet.
That's nice.
Glad you're listening, dear. Thank you.
Thank
you, dear.
Mike, I appreciate that. Thanks for the effort.
Yeah. Thanks for the effort.
Yeah.
Thank you. Shut up, Oscar. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to
run your marriage. Run your marriage like he runs his. That'll be good.
Here's a tease. When we come back, I'm going to tell a very sweet story.
Oh, good.
About Yankee fans.
Ooh.
What?
People that I've hated for a number of years now. Mm. But this is a very sweet story, and I will tell the story when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank
you. Oh, St. Paddy's Day is on the way, and you got a list of things you got to get. Corned beef and cabbage, check. Carrots and potatoes, check. Rye bread and mustard, check. Beer, check, check, check. Now there's one thing missing off that list, and that's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. It's an hour of uncensored, unfiltered fun that's even better than your mother's Irish soda bread. So head over to the MikeO'MaraShow.com right now, click on the Bonus Show banner. Now let's head back to the pot of gold that's at the end of our rainbow, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Paulie. Is that an Irish thing? Is he like? Is that payback? Is that a little payback? Do you think? Or
I know. I think he's just being seasonal, and I might have there might have been some CB interference when I put the music on it. I don't know.
Oh, did you put that together?
I did.
Oh, you did it. That's Paulie. That's Rob that did that. I didn't do that
How
to
dare
you.
He.
All right, very good. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lightstream. How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards? Do me a favor. Go to your credit card bill.
Yes.
Take a look on your statement. Mm. It's there for you to see, and you'll be seeing the interest rate you're paying.
It's big.
And it might make your jaw hit the floor. Why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? It's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, so much lower than the national average interest rate of over 20% APR. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Check out this actual testimonial. I applied for this loan after hearing the ad. Ever the skeptic, I decided to check it out anyway. I was amazed how easy the process was and had the money in my bank account within 2 days.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
I would recommend this company to everyone. Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Now listen, I've got a situation where I will be using another client. I when I sell this house, I have a home equity line for this house. Guess what? When you sell a house, that goes away. you got to pay that off. And you got to pay it off. And then if you still want to have a line of credit, you need a Lightstream. Here I come. Looking forward to it. The only way to get the discount for our listeners is apply now. Get a special interest rate discount and save even more. You go to LIGHTSTREAM.com/TMOS. That's Lightstream.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/TMOS for more information. A lot of information there. Sorry about that. Don't have many minutes to get this in, but I do want to tell you that I had a phenomenal weekend. I normally like to come in and tell you about horrible things that happened, but this particular Saturday, Mama had a full slate. Like, she was giving facials all day long, esthetician work all day long. And it was Michael and I from morning, noon, and night. A few incidents happened. I can't tell you all of them. I'll tell you the bad tomorrow, or I'll tell you when I can. I don't know.
Nobody is.
I'll tell you the good part, though.
Okay.
The bad part was that we're in having breakfast together. The place is totally packed. We get the check for breakfast. I reach into my back pocket, and Johnny, 60-year-old, left his wallet at home. Mm. Not in the car. It's at home.
How convenient.
Little Michael has his wallet.
Hey, yeah.
You will like this. I do not.
Buzz Lightyear wallet.
I do not use my little device here. I don't use it. But then I said, hold on a second.
Right.
I know when I first got this little overthinking phone that I complain about all the time that I know that I set up at least one thing on Apple Pay.
And
without any ID,
yes,
without anything whatsoever, I paid for my brekkie thanks to the help of a guy behind me who may have been a grifter getting all my information. He showed me how to just scan it over there.
What's your password?
Put your fingerprint in here.
Have either one of you used Apple Pay? I use it all the time.
No, I pay for everything with $10 bills
and change.
And change.
Coins. Silver.
Yeah,
I have the silver. Now the silver. But I was very, very pleased to get out of there.
That's cool.
With tip and everything for the waitress.
Spooky is the way I would describe it. Spooky because you pay, but there's no pain. There's no pain.
I would say it's almost dangerous.
The card is painful. The cash out of your pocket is painful.
Hurts. Check is horrible.
It's a transaction.
Going boop, boop.
And just going boop. I may be doing it again. Boop, boop, boop. It was. And by the way, thank you, restaurant. I'll give them their chain. You got them up there. Skillets.
Yes.
And they were wonderful and said to me, the hostess is up at the front desk. Work people through that all the time. Yeah. I went up there. It was packed. And I hated being the guy.
Did they say that? Did you feel that they were saying that because you were older? When they said,
1,000%.
They'll walk you through it.
1,000%.
Your grandson's going to be just fine. Right. And he's not going to have to wait for you.
And by the way, the difference between me, I'm up there just getting it done.
Right.
I didn't want to be, asked 30 questions like most old people would do. And they did it. So the next activity after
may I offer an impression of what most people at the front desk at Skillets would be doing if they're paying with Apple Pay? Thing they would do is the glasses would go up on the forehead. And then,
so what is this?
What is all this?
Is it fair to say that we should probably explain to people what this is? Because not
Apple
everybody
Pay?
Uses it.
Yeah. Apple Pay is
Pig Latin.
You file some of your payments
Pig Latin.
Like Apple Pay. Why are we doing this now? This is why I want to tell my good story. I don't want to play. All right,
Oscar,
save the Apple Pay. There, you guys can do that on your own.
Okay.
Oscar, perfect, tutorial perfect. On Apple Pay.
I will.
Excellent.
I will.
On set the
me
next
up.
Mike O'Meara
set you up.
Show.
Set me up.
I'll set you up.
Thank you very much. There.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
it. All right, here we go. So it's off to the ball yard.
Yes.
Saturday, the Red Sox were playing the Yankees. It's still a thing. For those of us, even though I don't know any of the players, it seems anymore.
It's a storied rivalry, Mike, steeped in history.
The rivalry ain't what it used to be. It's not the same star power that they used to have. The teams in spring training, at least the Yankees, don't send down their A-listers like they used to back in the day when the Red Sox would send all of their stars up to Tampa and the Yankees would send all of their stars down to Fort Myers. They don't do it anymore. It doesn't matter. I'm taking my little man. out to the game. It's like a $35 ticket that we're going out to see the Red Sox play. And it's a nice afternoon. And my buddy Gino from Boston was like, "You didn't know?
Yeah, they're playing. They're playing. The Red Sox are playing the Yankees.
We
gotta
God.
Go. Take yeah. the boy. Yeah, take yeah. the boy."
So we take him out there, and there's an area where there's a ramp that goes down to right to field level, and it's a spring training facility, so it's not the same Titus Tupperware atmosphere.
Right.
And there's a little ramp that goes down to the tunnel, and right before the tunnel is a yellow piece of like duct tape where they have it taped down, and the John Q fan can't go past this little right. place. So we go down there, and by the way, this is the last time he was there when he was a little bitty, like 2 years ago. He got his picture taken with Hanley Ramirez of the Boston Red Sox, who was holding him.
Oh
now
my
he's
gosh.
Standing up, and we're sitting there, and nobody's coming by. He's getting a little antsy. I'm getting a little antsy. And then this lady walks down, walks right through security, and it turns out it's the left fielder's mom, the superstar, Andrew Benintendi.
Okay.
Benintendi's a big star for the Red Sox. And I'm like, well, maybe this means he's going to come out. Well, he did come out. And I look at him, and I'm like waving my phone, pantomiming. There's like little six-year-old picture like that. And he gave me a half glance. I don't even know if he saw me or not. And then we wait a little longer. Maybe 5 minutes later, Andrew Benintendi comes out from the clubhouse, walks out, puts his arm around my kid, and I get the picture. I get the picture. I can show it to you. I'll text it to you. It's
what
really
is Mike, what is Michael going like? What's going through Michael's mind? What is he talking
does
to
he
you about?
Does he realize the gravity
that this might
of it?
Happen? Or
yeah, he's just about at that age now where he gets
like a major league superstar. He's about to meet somebody. Like, I remember when I met Rigo.
Not that level of excitement because he doesn't even know who the players
are. Okay, gotcha,
But it was very,
but I can
very
totally
cool.
relate to the urgency you had because
I sent you the picture, by the way.
On Robert's Make-A-Wish trip to Disney, there was a thing where you could have a lightsaber battle with Darth Vader.
Right.
But you had to be selected from the crowd to do it. Mm-hmm. And the urgency as a dad, because you know it's going to be something that the kid just goes nuts for, and you have to really work it. So the fact that you pulled it off has
we
to be
got it,
cool.
Mike. First, let me say that I saw this on Facebook while I was on vacation. A beautiful shot of you and your son, of superstar
that's
and your son.
Great.
Your son actually, little Michael, is growing up fast.
Yeah,
he is.
He does not look like a 6-year-old. Jesus Christ!
He's taller than anybody in his class. He's going to be a tall drink of water. So it's off to the ball yard. Look, he's 6. Is he into the game? No. Is he into all the stuff? Yes. He likes that. Get him a jersey. Get him his little cap. We go there, and then we are sitting surrounded by Yankee fans. And then he – by the way they do it now in the old ball yard, if you've been to a Major League Baseball game, they got netting from home plate all the way out to left field. Now, it sucks. It's just – and somebody said –
oh, you hate the netting?
I hate the netting.
Oh,
it's cell phones.
It's
cell phones because everybody's got their nose in their goddamn cell phone.
They're not aware.
So they're getting hit in the head with baseballs. So the netting's there. But at least in left field, there's low enough netting where they can throw an occasional ball over the netting. And I think he remembers when they used to not have netting when he was a little bitty and he was cute.
Mm.
Well, he was cute, but mama was cuter.
Yeah,
sure.
And
helps.
We used to do real well. Getting the balls behind the behind the visitor's dugout. Like, really well.
It makes
like,
complete
like,
sense.
He could set up a stand.
Oh, look, there's a hot mom.
Yeah.
Hot mom, cute baby, you know, ball. So it was like, so he kind of remembers that part, right? So his quest is to get a ball. And then this lady in front of us, she looked a little bit like Rosie Perez. And she turns around and goes, "In this section, you're going to get a ball. We're going to get you a ball." And I'm like, that is just so over-the-top kind. And they all have their Yankee jerseys on. It's like all my malice. And then there's a lady next to us who's a Yankee, wearing a Yankee jersey. And she goes, "Yeah, we're going to get him. I think this is a good place to be. This is a good place."
Oh,
and they're
that's
all
great.
Positive. And to make a long story short, these wonderful, sweet people. She's there with her father, too. She was there with her father
that's
and
nice.
Her husband. And she's talking to her father. And she was holding her father's hand when she was talking to her father. This is a woman 30, 35 years old. And it's just such a sweet family. And I said, "You're going to flip me. You're going to flip me after all this. You're just too nice." So the myth of Yankee fans, just how nice they were to my son and to me, And towards the end of the game, by the way, Michael's getting a little, I'm not going to get a ball, Daddy. Honey, it's the luck of the draw. Yeah. Sometimes you do. Sometimes I said, if you don't get a ball, we can go to Walmart. And for $3.99, I'll get you a baseball.
That's really, that's so nice of you.
So did you offer to sign it?
Carl,
make a long story short, they threw the ball into the stands. The Yankee husband reached way up and grabbed it, gave it to Michael.
Oh, that's great.
He got a spring training baseball. And the moral of the story is warfare between Red Sox fans and Yankee fans. You know what? We're all just people.
Yeah, people. We're just, just people.
We're all just human beings. And he brought the ball home. I signed it, Rob, and it was just fantastic.
My best, Mike O'Mara.
You're welcome.
Get out of here. Dad. You guys are such asses. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Angie with an all-new Oh My Golf show. Lights, Camera, Academy Award winner. We've got one on the show this week, and she says she's available for fashion advice, Mike. Shout out to my awesome dad for more than just living with the woman known as my mom. He's reached a major milestone. And we also talk with a young lady who's taken matters into her own hands to help anyone who's battling an illness. Subscribe today to the Oh My Golf show on YouTube or Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our good friends at Cornerstone. Hey. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
The rates keep on dropping. Mortgage interest rates have now hit an 8-year low. Wow. Thanks to coronavirus panic, the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage has dropped to 3.375%.
Wow.
I mean, it might go lower, but I don't know. I don't think so. That is pretty amazing.
This is a great
virus. Oh, man, if I'd only waited a month.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm sorry. That's me. Obviously, the time to act is now. In fact, applications to refinance are up 165% annually. What? I'm just talking. I mean, it was a couple of percentage points, tenths of a percentage point.
Everything counts, Mike.
I'm greedy.
What, are you refinance now?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think it's worth refining. Well, maybe.
Weekly.
You don't want to miss the boat. That's the point.
I like to do it on a Wednesday, refinance.
Total household debt nearing $14 trillion in tappable home equity, reaching an all-time high. You must act now. Take cash out or save stacks of cash by securing a lower rate. Call our buddy Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial today. The number 202-625-1221 or visit online at cornerstonefirst.com. I personally endorse them because I used them and they were fantastic. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. Call and see what they can do for you. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. And a big shout out to our friend, Mark Livingstone. Come down for a visit.
Mike.
News.
Yes, I'm hitting my news sounder. What do you want?
I just sent you a quick message, please.
All right, hold on.
It's encrypted.
It's all about. This chair's broken.
I'm just, from the beginning of the show, you have slowly sunk.
I know. I'm doing the best. Like, is that better?
Oh, my God. So much better.
Oh, my God.
So much better.
Beautiful.
I can't help it. If my ass slides on the chair and I can't help it.
Maybe.
And then I end up looking, maybe what? Weight loss? Yes,
No. What? The effect, you're...
By the way, this chair from the Healthy Back Store down here, I know they're fans of the show and stuff. You sold me a bill of goods. I'm going to get something out of Walmart.
The portrait effect on your camera.
Yes.
When you start sinking down.
You disappear.
And you start disappearing.
No,
you remember the way you used to look on...
Look what it does.
Like on Star Trek when they used to materialize.
Yeah. Like you're half.
Hey, for the 13 people watching us on TV right now, thank you. All right, here it is. Inside the Actors Studio, host James Lipton lost his battle with bladder. Listen to Rob when there's a death. Do you hear Rob?
Yes.
Like,
no,
yeah.
Yes. We did it.
Celebrity death.
I say yes because.
Because
I'm glad.
Excited.
No, I'm glad we're covering it. I'm glad we're covering it.
Why wouldn't we?
And besides, you're the one who killed him, Mike.
Inside, did I mention him?
We did the actors quiz on the bonus show a couple weeks ago, remember?
Yeah.
Ooh.
True story.
Inside the Actors Studio, host James Lipton lost his battle with bladder cancer yesterday. He was 93. Good long life.
That is.
James wasn't a celebrity until his late 60s. always speculated how old he was. I didn't know he was that old. He launched Inside the Actors Studio on Bravo in 1994. He did it for 24 years until his retirement in 2018. The show has continued without him on Ovation Network with rotating hosts.
Not
of course it has.
Yeah.
You find the replacement.
Catch an episode.
Art Fleming got Alex Trebek, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't do the rotating hosts.
Catch an episode hosted by Mark Addy. It'll be great.
I have no idea where the show is or
No one knows. You know what? He was very funny.
You go to a talent search and you get another James Lipton. You do. That's what you do.
He did maybe a one or two episode arc as a prison warden in Arrested Development. He was so great because he played it totally straight. It was great.
I adored this show when I would watch it. James didn't do much acting of his own. He did play himself on a couple of episodes of The Simpsons. As Rob mentioned, Arrested Development. Will Ferrell played him on Saturday Night.
Ha ha, Will Ferrell.
I thought it was just okay. During a 2012 interview with CNN, James was asked the question he always asked. What would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? And Lipton said, quote, "You see, Jim, you were wrong. I exist, but you may come in anyway." Mm-hmm. All right. That's kind of a cold answer for a guy that asked that question so many times. You know, I used to love that part of the show when he would ask that question.
But isn't it on brand for that guy? Because he was just
Absolutely. Greater
than the guest.
1,000%.
He's greater than God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, he was a walking ad for Just for Men. That man.
I don't know that he colored it. I don't know that he colored his hair.
Right, Rob. Sarah Johnston claims that she and two of her friends met Timothy Hutton and two of his friends when Timothy Hutton was in town to shoot the movie Iceman. They were talking and having a good time when the guy suggested they move things to Hutton's room, and that's when things turned creepy. Johnston says she ended up in a bedroom with Hutton and one other guy, and she tried to tell him she didn't think it was a good idea and she wanted to leave, but they kept telling her stuff like, "You'll be fine, it won't last long." They undressed her, and Hutton had sex with her, even though she was telling him not to. Johnston finally filed a criminal complaint late last year. How long ago is this?
Like 34. Old movie.
34. Through his attorneys, Hutton claims Johnston didn't even raise these claims until 2017, 34 years after they allegedly took place. And when she did approach him, it was to negotiate a financial settlement. Johnston said that Hutton actually agreed to pay her $135,000, but she backed out at the last minute because she couldn't stomach the terms of the deal, which included Hutton being able to maintain that nothing happened at all. Hutton's attorney claims she was just mad that she didn't get more money. Her attorney had been asking for $1.5 million, and I think she was 14 at the time. So that's creepy. A lot of creepiness. By the way, Chris Matthews last night, after allegations of inappropriate comments to guests, announced his retirement. Watched Morning Joe with his colleagues today. There's a lot of sadness over there at MSNBC that he might have been a victim of cancel culture. And I don't know. Can I play a little of Chris Matthews
because his tone was weird. I mean, it's Chris Matthews anyway.
He's saying F you. I'm not dealing with this.
Let's be fair, though, Mike. Let's be honest. There was a reckoning on with this, what some people call cancel culture, but also with the way that we're able to speak to other people. When we all know that, especially coming from this world of broadcasting.
Yeah.
And if you continue to do that and put blinders on to your in the face of this world of broadcasting, the current state.
Right.
Then that's a problem.
It is a problem. And if you're still doing it.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, some of us, by the way, learned early on and just were mindful of it. Wasn't as spelled out 20 years ago.
No.
But it was there 20 years ago. You knew, you know, and I think that even before that, there are other people that have had storied careers that are probably in their 70s right now or 80s right now that probably just didn't do it on general principle of being a good person.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, and then there are those of us that probably would be able to look back on their careers and say,
multiple
I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done that. No, I wouldn't have behaved like that.
Of course.
But you're right. If it's something within the recent memory where you're saying, hey, you look great in that dress, you can't do it anymore.
Right.
But I don't know. Regarding Chris Matthews, the way he was regarded today by his colleagues speaks volumes to me. That You get people that, like Matt Lauer, didn't hear a lot of people.
No,
oh, not a lot of people running to his defense. Yeah.
Chris Matthews, a lot of these colleagues are coming out and seeing that. I want to see what comes of this and where the chips fall. Because right now, from what I read, you were dealing with a guy that said something like, I love you, or I'm falling in love with you. I could see someone saying that in a flip, funny way as a compliment that you look great, but it's still not appropriate. But it's also not, you know, we're not talking Harvey Weinstein.
I guess I think there was multiple cumulative from what I read.
Yeah, there were multiples. Well, let's hear what he said on his show. Rob's got the tape.
Let me start with my headline tonight. I'm retiring. Well, after a conversation with MSNBC, I decided tonight will be my last hardball. So let me tell you why. A lot of it has to do with how we talk to each other. Compliments on a woman's appearance that some men, including me, might have once incorrectly thought were okay. We're never okay. Not then, and certainly not today. And for making such comments in the past, I'm sorry. I'm very proud of the work I've done here. And for those of you who have gotten in the habit of watching Hardball every night, I hope you're going to miss me because I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, I mean, he's owning it. And he's saying I'm out, and I don't want to deal with the, you know.
Do you think he would be a good host for Inside the Actors Studio?
Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Moving right along. Speaking of men and bad comments and bad behavior, this could mean absolutely nothing. It could mean absolutely everything. Jessica Biel, one of the most beautiful women in America, was spotted out shopping in Beverly Hills over the weekend without her wedding ring. Tabloids are connecting the dots to last November when Justin Timberlake was spotted rubbing up on actress Alicia Wainwright at a bar in New Orleans where they're filming a movie together. He apologized right away, admitted he was drunk and out of line, but obviously we don't know if Jessica's forgiven him. We also don't know if she always wears her ring. So this could just be business as usual. Stay tuned. Hey, little gossip, gossip, gossip.
Ooh, juicy.
A new survey asked parents today what kind of rules they need to set to keep their kids safe in a modern world. Here are the 10 most common. 1, never text or send people pictures of your body parts. Amen. Right. 2, don't click links in an email if you aren't sure who sent it to you. Not do that. 3, don't give out your address online. Ask for permission before you make an in-app or in-game purchase. Never call 911 as a joke.
That's not a funny joke.
Don't accept invites on Xbox from people you don't know. Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar.
Don't let anyone follow you on social media that you don't know. Don't enter your email on a website without asking permission. Never type in anything in a text message you would want your parents to read. And don't talk or message with people you don't know.
That's fair.
I think they're solid. Yeah.
And now a little something something. According to a new survey, less than a quarter of millennials say they're good at fixing things around the house. All millennials. And millions of millennials say they call for help to hang a picture or change a light bulb. Hey, I'm just giving you the facts here. The average millennial says they'll go more than 3 weeks with a light bulb out before they get around to fixing it.
Mm.
Well, it's not fixing it. It's changing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much. Some of the other jobs, by the way, I enlisted help replacing light fixtures.
Yes.
And they weren't bulbs, but I was switching out my the old bulbs with the LEDs that you screw into the set. They're called retrofitting light fixtures for... why am I saying this? Shut up, Mike. But it's not all out of laziness or a lack of basic skills. It's also an issue of confidence. 33% say someone else will do a better job of fixing stuff. Well, that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it.
Well,
how
you
often
get
do we hear that?
A TaskRabbit to put together your Walmart desk?
Yes.
Okay,
so, not a TaskRabbit, a handyman. Right, thank
we'll
you very much.
Yeah.
Well, that, but I could have if I wanted to.
But you didn't.
That was a choice. But it's not that I couldn't. There's a big... Oscar, it's not that I couldn't.
He
said
he also converted the desk to LED.
He also
I got better things to do.
Down. He's like, I'm not bending down and making that.
Yeah, my back would have killed me.
There you go.
Thank you. I'm 60 years old. I'm not taking it. By the way, they talked about, let me see, some of the other jobs. Putting up wallpaper. Well, that's hard.
It is. I don't like doing that.
Taking it off is terrible.
Yeah.
Painting, you got to have a skill to do that correctly. Fixing a loose screw. No, I'm sorry. No. Fixing a heater. We're tightening the hinges on a cabinet. I'm not a millennial, but can somebody tell me what heater we're talking about here? Because I can't fix a heater either. The heater? Fixing the heater? What? Like the heat pump? I mean, I think the bar is a little high on that one, for Christ's sake. I don't know what's going on. But Oscar's made me upset already. So
he made me lady
enough. I have no idea what's going on. And he's filled with joy. We will take a break and come back with the audio of Alton Rob Spiewak, and then I'm going to a golf tournament. Thank you. Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to the Mike O'Mara show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me. But really, if you're not as scared as I am, well, first of all, congratulations to you. And tell Alexa to play the Mike O'Mara show. And Bob's your uncle. Still terrified. Jeff Goldblum checking out. Mike, can you please sit up? I'm going to cherish that one.
Hey, make it a screen cap.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Everyone at Podcast Village has noticed how happy Maddie has been lately.
Yes.
And we all know why. She has a new kitty cat.
Hey!
Oh, kitty cat.
Kitty cat.
Kitty cat. Kitty cat. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. It's Tiramisu the cat.
Mm. Yeah.
But did you know that Terry the cat is a bit undersized? Mm. That's why Maddie's cat is a member of the Itty Bitty Kitty Committee. Yes, the Itty Bitty Kitty Committee looks out for every itty bitty kitty in the city. When you get down to the nitty gritty, everyone knows this committee is Litty. Walter Mitty, G. Gordon Liddy, Guy Fieri, P. Diddy, Conway Twitty, and most of Kansas City, they all love the Itty Bitty Kitty Committee. And isn't it a pity that you aren't part of the Itty Bitty Kitty Committee? But don't throw a fitty. You get free membership to the Itty Bitty Kitty Committee if you buy the TMOS bonus show. So, buy the bonus show, available at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You'll come for the committee and stay for the witty. And you'll feel so giddy and pretty. You'll feel pretty and witty and gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Buy it right now. I don't know what he's doing either. He drops acid.
West Side Story. It's, you know, I feel pretty.
I feel pretty. And the itty bitty. Let's set up the audio vault, Rob.
Mike, let's take a trip to Flavortown.
Flavortown.
Yeah, he was mentioned. I wrote that spot before I knew he'd be spotlighting him. Guy Fieri has a new milkshake he's featuring at his restaurant that is made from the milk from the bottom of your cereal bowl. You know,
what?
Like after you eat cereal,
the after milk
and all that sugary
milk.
Oh,
so you soak the milk in cereal. It's not you don't get other people's cooties.
No. But it's leavens.
At the end, when you got done eating the cereal, you had all that sugar milk with that great flavor.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we make a milkshake out of that at Chicken Guy. I took the cereal and soaked it in some milk.
Oh, literally soaked cereal.
It soaked cereal.
This is brilliant. And then you take the cereal milk to make the milkshake.
There you go. We'll go ahead and throw some of your favorite cereal in.
It's Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray.
Yeah.
What the hell happened to that voice?
It's always been that way. I think it's always kind of been that way, I think.
A lot of drinking on that show.
That'll add a little bit of that crunch, a little bit of that texture. I think we should probably put some booze in it.
No,
so about a little marshmallow vodka, and then a little cinnamon to, you know, for the cereal.
He throws fireball and marshmallow vodka into a milkshake. Like,
cheers.
Oh, cheers.
If someone came out and just said, hey, you know what they found out about Guy Fieri? He's nuts. I'd say, yep, yeah, he is.
He's a nice man.
He is a very nice man.
You know, but that's he's gotten, I think Guy Fieri's taken too much crap over the years.
Yeah, I think, and he's done so much good.
No, I love the drive-ins and dive show. I think that's really good.
I think it comes from jealousy. That people that are mad at him are jealous of him.
I agree, yeah. And Anthony Bourdain never liked the guy. He always made fun of him, and Rachel Ray, and there they are, and I'm not going to say anything mean now, because
no.
I could.
No, don't.
What's
don't,
wrong
don't.
With me?
You're probably wondering why you're not seeing Kanye West around the, Kanye West around the United States.
Are you okay?
Well, yeah, because, what do they call him, Yeezy, right?
Many strokes.
They're just little ones. They hardly, because they're called, you know, little memory things. But it's the reason you haven't seen Kanye around is he's touring Europe. He's in Paris. Right. And this is exciting because his son, Northwest, made his rapping debut.
Mm.
He's six.
Oh,
and he's got
adorable.
Amazing talent.
This is freestyle.
This is something that's so
lovely.
Why?
Nice.
You can't judge kids. Oh, it's tough.
Right? All right.
Not Jennifer Lopez's kid singing the Super Bowl.
No, it's a little different.
That was beautiful.
It was lovely.
A little older, a little more developed. Yeah. I'll tell you what, he's got the sense of the beat, which my kid doesn't have with his piano lessons yet.
Oh,
really?
His mother's sense of rhythm. Yeah,
this surprises me.
I worry about it. I do, because I'm a drummer. You know, and yeah. I'll do that a lot with Michael. I'm like, let's do the beat. And he's doing this. Yeah.
Well, you remember Steve Martin? Be, yeah. I've got music. I've got rhythm. Anyway, we're late. That's your magic audio ball. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
All right, I'm taking a little hiatus to
good luck, Mike.
Yeah,
be
do
with
good.
My friends.
Good luck.
The boys are going to hold down the fort. I'll be back, and people are going to say, what? Let's get it again. Mike's gone there. Hey, you know what? We have lives, people.
Yeah.
Deal with
it.
All right, there you go. And then Rob might go somewhere.
What's the trophy called?
Well, I thought I was going down to golf with you.
It's the Trump testicle. We get a little replica of his sack. That's it. We got to get out of here. For Maddie Masiello, Pony Boy Matt Bloom, and Robin Oscar, Michael Barrett saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MichaelMarishow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
I wet myself.
Yeah. If elected mayor, my first act will be to kill the whole lot of you and burn your town to cinders.
Oh, this is the lowest I've ever sunk, and I once made out with a blow-up doll.